Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up! I want to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host Ed in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host Couture. What's going on, Couture?
Yep.
Okay, and we also got our other co-host on the line, Craig. And Craig, I have to personally thank you for finally giving us a plug on the Brian and Vinny show. It's been long overdue. Thank you very much. But with that said, I still have a bone to pick with you. I wanted to wear my F4W shirt to Super Channel Buffet Day this Sunday, and unfortunately, I can't do it.
Yep.
I demand a half-price refund.
How about I just give you the whole thing back, and I'll keep the shirt?
No, I want the shirt. I just want a refund.
You can just deduct
the extra $3 they charged me for a XXX.
It's not my fault you're a 3X.
Yeah, I know. But yeah. Whose fault was it? What was the reason? What the hell did Brian do?
Well, oddly enough, we're using a printer that he uses to print all the Figure Four Weeklies on and granny shirts and everything. So he talked me into using this company, and out of Bothell, I should have known that. Should have gone with a more big-time company than something out of Bothell, Washington. But anyway, he's getting some patches made up for Jiu-Jitsu, something incorporating the Gracie logo and the TDL bang. Okay, so him and the printer had been going back and forth on things, and we'd had some problems with the artwork for the shirts. Long story short, the last thing she heard from Brian was, hold off. And so, like, I missed, like, a whole week and a half where she was holding and waiting, and I finally emailed her. I said, okay, what's going on with the shirt? She said, oh, Brian said to hold them. No, I want them yesterday. So, anyway, that's the long and short of it. But they were on hold, and they shouldn't have been on hold. So Brian says it's completely her fault, but... He doesn't take time.
Let's be serious here. Everything that goes wrong is somehow Brian's fault. I mean,
well, if he would have, you know, probably took a second to read the email that he was writing and think, well, maybe this might screw something up, you know. But I don't want to throw him under the bus. It was the printer's fault, long story short. And I'll be getting the shirt sooner than later. I apologize.
I guess I just have to wait then, unfortunately. But
yes, you will.
This will be the last time you're selling shirts.
Oh, go ahead. What did you say, Couture?
I said, so this will be the last time you're selling shirts. After this experience, you won't do it anymore.
Brian wants to do it in another month, and I'm putting the kibosh on that. I'll do it in another, like, 2 months, but not right away. I'm just going to – I'll get everything out, and then he'll want to do another one. It's, like, nutty, so – whatever.
Lance is asking if we're ready for him to call in now. Should I tell him to call in now?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, just send some message, so hopefully he will call in. Hopefully I sent him the right calling number. I was kind of high when I did, so hopefully he will call in. But, Craig, I thought Brian was the cheapest one of the group, but apparently you know a few tricks of yourself to pinch some pennies there. You're going to rip off the buffet and go into 330 and then get the dinner price. So you're going to sit there and what are you going to do, just nibble at your food for half an hour until they bring out the real food?
No. I'll eat. And then once they wheel out the other good stuff, I'll eat that as well. This is a genius plan, if you ask me.
Yeah, well,
I'm not as cheap.
I think
it
was Brian,
so
I know he'll
though.
Take advantage of that.
Well, he'll probably try to weasel his way into a free dinner somewhere, somehow. Introduce the guest.
Introduce the guest, Craig.
Our guest tonight is a writer, a trainer, an analyst, a blogger, a reality star. Oh, yeah, and he once worked for some of the biggest wrestling companies on the planet. Please welcome to the show, Lance Storm.
How you doing, guys?
Well, Lance, how are you?
Okay, well, great. We're starting off with some awkward slides. Lance, we were just talking about Super China Buffet Day. What are your plans for Super China Buffet Day? Does Lance Storm celebrate with the rest of the Empire?
Unfortunately not. I wanted to the first year that I heard about it, which is only a year or so ago, but my wife and youngest daughter have gluten intolerance and a bunch of other dietary restrictions, so buffets are not their friend, so they have no interest in going, and I tend to, if I'm going out, I like to do so with my family, so I'll be eating at home on Super China Buffet Day.
Well, as long as you're eating, that's all that counts.
Exactly. I'll be eating and thinking of how much fatter I can get if I eat more.
Cool. Well, Couture usually has been skipping out on our recent interviews, so Couture, I'm going to go ahead and let you start the show, so go ahead and ask away.
Okay. Lance, I've been noticing that Finley's been doing some independent dates. Have you ever thought of bringing him up to Canada and maybe see somebody, if you brought him in, you'd want to come out of retirement and work with him?
The thing is, up here, it's like I don't have anything to do with who gets brought in and who doesn't.
Oh, okay.
I strictly decide what gets done with who we have. And, you know, it's probably about two, maybe three times a year PWA brings somebody in, and they're just in the process of bringing Tommy Dreamer in. He's coming up August 26th and 27th in Edmonton and Calgary, respectively. So they got Dreamer coming up for the two shows in a couple weeks. But, you know, I would certainly speak very highly and suggest that if they were interested in bringing up, it'd be great. And it would certainly be tempted. The only problem is the longer I'm out, the harder it is to get into the cardio shape I'd want to be in. But working with Finley is always fantastic, so it would certainly be a tempting one.
Now, you worked with Finley before, like when you were first breaking in Europe, right?
Yeah, I worked with him in 93 when I was over working for Otto Vons, and then again in 95. Worked him a ton, actually. I don't know how many times, but throughout 93 it was a lot. And then 95 I actually was sort of working a bit of a program with him and Danny Collins, who was sort of his tag team partner and partner in crime. Because in 95 they brought me over for a championship match with Fit. And then did an angle out of that using Danny Collins to have me stick around for the rest of the tournament. So I was there for, I think, six and a half weeks, primarily working with either Fit or Danny Collins. And Danny Collins wasn't a far cry off as good as Fit, so it made for a really great 6 weeks for me.
I wanted to ask you about Otto Wines. When I first started kind of watching wrestling, you know, I really didn't see the AWA. I would just read about it in the aftermath, and I kind of remember reading when he was the AWA champion. So automatically, because I was a dumb mark at the time, I assumed he was like this great wrestler. And of course, that's not the truth. But what could you tell us about Otto Wines as a promoter and as a worker?
As a worker, I'm not sure I've ever actually seen a match of his. From what I understand, his big move was like a cannonball or something where he basically just do a big somersault over top of you. And, you know, Otto was like a big 400-pound large dude. So he basically just steamrolled by doing a big somersault roll over top of you, I believe, was his big move. I think the AWA world title run was just a political move that he had managed to pull some kind of political strings to get. But other than that, as a promoter, I wasn't a big fan. Otto being a rather large, shall we say, round gentleman, was obviously a long-term world champion in Europe. So I think to help his credibility, he liked promoting big round gentlemen as world champion. So he tended to book and push really big guys. Where I used to joke that Otto paid by the pound. The bigger you were, the more he paid you. I had issues with Otto over money in that what I was told I would get paid when I first went over wasn't what I got paid when I got over. If I remember correctly, I think I was supposed to get paid $1,000 a week U.S. And the way Otto calculated his pay was, again, let's use the number 1,400 just to save my math. If you're supposed to get paid $1,400 a week, he's like, well, there's 7 days in a week, so that's $200 a day. You get paid $200 a show. So if I only promote 3 shows that week, you get paid $600. Mm. When you're planning on a per-week paycheck, that really sucks. And when he brought me over for the first few tournaments, the first few weeks there was only a couple spot shows, for lack of a different term, not the big tournaments that lasted a long time. So when I first got over there, I wasn't making anywhere near the money I was expecting. And he screwed you out a little bit on the exchange. I remember the first meeting I had with him. He sat down and said, you know, this is how much you get paid per show. And he said, you know, with the exchange rate, you're going to have to round up or down to make it sort of as close as you can. He said, I'm going to round down in my own favor. He says, but if I end up liking your work, I'll round it up and you'll benefit from it. And then after the first match I had, which was with Hiroyoshi Tenzan, we both come back to the locker room, and he raved about our work and never once ever rounded our paychecks up. It only probably made the difference of $50 over the course of the week, but I just felt somewhat slighted. And being a smaller guy that, you know, did more wrestling, I also didn't get a whole lot of respect or credibility from Otto, and was just pretty much there for a change of pace between the big guy matches. So I wasn't a super fan of Otto, although the man did give me a fair bit of work, and I was glad for the experience.
We were just talking about Fit Finley, and I just got an IM from Mr. Ooh La La, as seen on the Jerry Springer Show a few years ago. He says, Lance, if you want to work with Finley, come to the DOA show in Portland in November, and he'll be there. And also, he says your favorite student, Jones Albert Robinson, will be there.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, I'm not going to be rushing out to take indie bookings, but seeing Fit again would be fantastic.
And is that a student of yours?
Yeah, he was a few classes ago, but yeah, he was a pretty good guy, too.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Katrina.
What did you think of your experience doing the reality show World of Hurt?
On the overall, I wasn't really happy with it. I'm not a big reality TV fan to begin with. And then after doing one, I'm even less of a fan. I'm not sure why the word reality is attached to anything. Again, we had fun doing it because it was a great cast. You know, the majority of them were some of my better students that I, you know, had become pretty good friends with. So we had fun on set. And some of the crew was really fun to work with. So we had fun in that regard. And on the whole, I think the show is relatively entertaining. But it just bothers me because I'm trying to get the right words, you know, protective of the business. I care a lot about the way the business is portrayed, and there will be a lot of people that look at that show and, you know, think there's some degree of reality to it when in fact there isn't. I don't think it really represented the business or how training or how people act at all. So in that regard, I wasn't happy with it. But on the whole, I suppose it's relatively entertaining and relatively harmless. But the fact that they call it a docudrama is, barely half right.
Like maybe manipulated reality show, is that a better term?
That would be more accurate, but realistically speaking, it isn't even that. Like, I expected, you know, when you're approached with reality television, you figure, okay, you're going to be encouraged to have a little more drama and encourage everything else, and it's, you know, that's not even the half of it. I think Brian's analogy when I did Brian's show was the best, that, you know, wrestling's fake, and Brian thought it would be, well, we go out there and call it on the fly, knowing they're expected to have drama. No, it was sit down and going, okay, in this scene we need this. And it was constructed to almost to the point of, okay, you stand here and say this, where there wasn't a script, but it was as close to script as you could get.
Was it ever difficult, like, afterwards, you know, when you do, like, your interviews, and they would, like, ask you about something that happened during training, was it kind of difficult to, like, get the initial reaction you first had from something happening in training when you were doing your post-interviews?
Well, I didn't do many of them. A lot of the other guys did. And a lot of them, they grabbed them immediately, where, you know, if we were doing something specifically. And at times they were manipulating us because they tried to work us too and, you know, would lie to one person and lie to somebody else and try to stir shit up. So if something like that did happen and someone would get mad, they'd grab them immediately away from the group so nobody else could stooge off that they'd been set up, and they'd get a real reaction. If not, they'd have to do it afterwards. But a lot of the, you know, when you're standing around the ring and getting reactions like that, that all has to be shot after the fact. So it's kind of bizarre. But again, most of my stuff was done as we did it with, you know, okay, we need a drill to do this, get in and do this with somebody, and I'd do that. There wasn't too many, I've got to stand somewhere else and do something, because most of the drama and reactions, if you will, were the cast more so than me. And in that regard, I think it was probably a good experience for them, getting used to having to do, you know, quasi-scripted promos and reactions and stuff. Getting used to working with cameras and having to, you know, react accordingly, which is what they're going to have to do if they have success enough to get working somewhere that's got TV.
Now, Lance, Brian Piper is taking over the next season, and you just talked about how you're guarded about the wrestling business. And Roddy Piper, in my opinion, I think he was one of the very last people to ever break kayfabe. But he's also a Hollywood guy. How do you think he's going to react to the, like, everything you had to go through?
I think it's going to be completely different, because I think there's a good chance he'll never see the show. Like, unless they send it to him on DVD after the fact, he's never going to have access to the show. And he's, again, I don't know if I'm even supposed to say this, but, you know, he's not even there for the bulk of the shooting, so I don't know if he's going to have any idea what this is going to look like. You know, I think it's about a 3-week shoot, and I think he's going to be there about 7 days. So he will do his promos and his take on training and his thing. And I've heard from the cast, and they find him really interesting. He's got a very unique take on a lot of stuff. So I would imagine the show will be quite interesting, but I don't think he has a clue what the actual show is going to end up being like or what it's going to be about, because they're shooting all the drama and all the conflict when he's not even around.
Okay. Go ahead, Craig.
You know, early on, you have been doing interviews with Brian, you know, every other week since World of Hurt started. And I couldn't help but notice you didn't start kind of burying the show till the very last one was over. Was that something you kind of had a gag order with them, not to say anything bad or to stooge them off, or did you just want people to watch the show?
For the most part, I wanted people to watch the show, and I felt some degree of loyalty to the show to not stooge it off. Dealings I've had with them since have changed my degrees of honesty and loyalty.
Gotcha. Fair enough.
Go ahead, Craig.
Let's jump over to your run in WCW. It is a huge jump, I understand. We had Luke Robinson on the show last week, and Jeremiah was on Brian's show last week as well. And you had a feud with the Misfits in Action, Team Canada versus the Misfits in Action. What was Hugh Morris like?
He was fantastic. He was a lot of fun to work with. All the guys from the Misfits in Action were really friendly, down-to-earth guys. You know, and when you first go to WCW, there was, you know, definitely a top tier of guys that didn't tend to hang with the rest of the guys as much. They sort of kept to their top tier clique a little bit. So Hugh and the Misfits were ones to really, hey, welcome to the, you know, welcome to the company and chat and hang out and show you the ropes and be fun to work with. So Hugh and I became pretty good friends through our program because we worked together so bloody much. He was a lot of fun. Luke Robinson, is that the guy that won Tough Enough? He was the runner-up guy. Okay. Yeah, I heard part of the Jeremiah interview, and I'm like, wow, there's no secret now on why he wasn't hired.
Yeah, you're not the only one.
I was just about to ask you about that. Can you go into a little more details on what you thought about what you did hear of his interview?
Again, I didn't last too many minutes in, but when he's, you know, talking about cutting a promo and having Dusty say something about it and then go to walk away, and he called Dusty out and made him come back and, you know, was taking exception to him. And it's like, you know, he obviously has no understanding about the respect level you're supposed to show in the business. And, you know, he was far too outspoken for his place on the totem pole, and I would have no surprise that they just went, there's no way I'm dealing with this guy. We need to get rid of him. You know what I mean? When he apparently threw the microphone over his shoulder when he was done and they, you know, gave him a little bit of heat over it and he gets all defensive. It's like, you know, those cordless mics are about $1,000, you know, and you're throwing it over your shoulder just because you don't give a damn, and then has enough to, like, want to call somebody out and have a problem with it when you're dealing with people that have, you know, have been in the business for a large number of years and are the ones judging you on whether you want to be hired or not. You know, I don't care even if it's the wrestling business. You know, you go to work at McDonald's, you're going to go to your job interview and you know, cut off and call out the guy trying to decide whether he wants to hire you and what he said. You know, the general world doesn't work that way, let alone the wrestling business. So after watching that, I was very clear on why they didn't hire him.
Well, I think you got to be like in any job, you got to, when you're trying to get a job, you got to be a little bit more humble than that. You know, I think that anybody would agree with that.
Well, yeah, when you're trying to get a job, or even when you just get the job, it's like shit rolls downhill. You're the low guy on the totem pole. You've got to bite your tongue and do what you're told. That's, you know, that's in any job. And again, I don't care if you're working at McDonald's. You know what I mean? You know, you're going to call out Dusty Rhodes on what he says? It's like, I don't think so. Doesn't matter if what he's saying doesn't even make sense. You just go, yes, sir, Mr. Rhodes, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I left about 20 minutes in the interview, but I couldn't take the accent anymore, so I had to cut it off. It was worse than mine. A little bit.
You're just upset because you're not the most famous person out of that little hick town anymore, for sure.
Well, no. I'm not the biggest asshole out of that hick town anymore.
Lance, I wanted to ask you about, because I think Brian and Todd Martin had brought up that. I think you gave Todd some suggestions on Cracker Barrel. And I actually went to look at the menu of Cracker Barrel, and I was like, what the hell does Lance eat when he comes to this place? What exactly did you eat when you went to Cracker Barrel?
The grilled chicken tenderloin. I was a really big fan of. If it was morning, I would get egg whites along with the grilled chicken. If it was dinner, I'd get the grilled chicken tenderloin. The salad, they used to have a low-fat Italian dressing that was made for a really good salad. So, you know, that's where I tended to stay pretty consistent with what I had. If I was feeling good that my cardio had been up, I would have a couple of the biscuits before I started, which obviously would not fall under my diet, but would be pretty damn tasty. And Don Callis was a big fan of the no-sugar added apple pie.
Good call.
Now, I think you once joked that some of the boys would still call you and ask you where certain Cracker Barrels were across the United States. Do you still get that?
The boys don't, but I still get, whether it be friends or you know, students or stuff that have heard me rave about it for years, when they find their first one, I'll get the text with, I'm going into a Cracker Barrel, what should I get? But Don Callis and Jerry Lynn, when I first left ECW, to go to WCW. They started calling me on a regular basis with, you know, we're on I-10 just east of Houston. Is there a Cracker Barrel coming up? Because I was the one that always carried the little brochure you can get at the restaurant that's got the map with all the locations nationwide, which I actually still have in the door panel of my truck, oddly enough.
Go ahead, Chair.
Yeah, I was wondering what your opinions are on John Laurinaitis since he's been on TV like the last few weeks. I know you worked with him in WCW and in WWE, and I mean he's kind of a controversial figure. I was just wondering what your thoughts were on him.
Johnny and I've always got.
Does he get like shit on for no reason, or you know, because he takes a lot of heat, you know?
Well, Johnny and I have always gotten along really well. You know, he started in WCW pretty much the same time I did. And we had actually talked on the phone before when I was close to going to All Japan. I had been negotiating to go to All Japan with Chris Candido way back in the end of 94 and had talked to Johnny then. And the Nitro that I made my debut was his debut in WCW, and he is my agent. So I've worked together with Johnny quite a bit, and we've always gotten along. It is the shit job. Like, it is the job that you take all the heat for everything. You know, and I remember, you know, back when JR had that position that, you know, you'd hear a lot about people not liking him and thinking he's a bit of, a, you know, a miserable prick. And it's a lot of it's the position. You know, when your job is to fine people and suspend people and fire people, you know, you're probably not going to be the most popular guy. So, you know, I think a lot of the heat is just strictly that's what the job is. Because I've always gotten along really well with Johnny. But, you know, it's a bad spot. And I always laugh. I laugh at the criticism he gets with, you know, why is he in charge? He's never drawn money in the U.S. And it's like, well, we're not putting him on top on TV. What does it have? What does him drawing on top have to do with his current job description? You know, JR did it before him, and it's not like JR was a top-drawing in-ring performer before either. You know, his job is to, you know, scout talent, and actually I don't even think it is that anymore. I think Hunter's job is that now. So, you know, he's scheduling talent and, you know, scheduling house shows and so forth. And there's been a lot of people over the years that have been good bookers that weren't big in-ring draws. You know, if he was the one standing there telling John Cena how to act in the ring to draw money, then I could see you taking exception to, you've never really drawn big money here, what are you talking about? But that's not really his job description. So I think a lot of the heat he takes is because it's just, you know, his job is being Vince's bad cop. He's supposed to be the bad guy.
And all the stuff is coming from Vince. It's not like he's making these decisions on his own, like to fire somebody, I don't think.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, he's not the one that's sitting there telling creative not to come up with anything for Harry Smith and, you know,
yeah,
telling Steph and Hunter that, you know, there's nothing, you know, I don't think we should put Johnny or Harry Smith on TV. You know, I believe it's the creative department's job and Vince's job to decide if they want to do anything with Harry and if they can think of what to do with Harry. And when the creative team and Vince and everybody else sits down and says, you know what, we don't have anything for him, let's let him go. Then Johnny has to be Johnny Hatchett. So, you know, that's what he's going to do. He's not necessarily the one sitting there going, I want to fire Harry Smith. But, again, when you're the, you know, it is a bit of the let's shoot the messenger.
Mm-hmm. Now, Lance, did I see a picture on Facebook of you punching Paul Lazenby in the face the other day?
Yeah, you did. Paul has a he's been doing it occasionally in his web posts or blogs or whatever the hell they're called, where if somebody does something bonehead, he gives them the punch in the face award for being stupid as somebody that needs to be punched in the face. And then I guess he got a couple just still photos of, you know, famous people that he was working with, like Steve Austin and a few other guys punching him in the face. It sort of caught on and becoming a gimmick. So whenever he is with anyone that's remotely famous, he gets a photo taken of the guy punching him in the face. And Paul was in town this past, last weekend, I guess it was, for a mutual friend's 40th birthday party. And so he, before he left, wanted to get a picture of me punching him in the face. And we got lucky that we ended up hooking up for breakfast with Jericho the one day. Because the guy that we were going to his birthday party was another good friend of Jericho's, but Fozzie was playing a gig up in Fort McMurray, which is way up north in Alberta, the night of the birthday party, so he couldn't come. And we all got a text, you know, I think around midnight after the party with, I just found out I've got a 3.5-hour layover in Calgary tomorrow morning. Why don't you guys come get me? So we all went up and picked him up at the airport, and we went out for breakfast while he had a 3-hour layover. So we got a picture of Jericho punching him in the face, too. There's that's floating around Facebook as well.
Cool. So what's Jericho up to? And you, I guess, I know you can't really say too much, but what's going on in Jericho's life right now?
Well, again, he's doing Fozzie gigs. You know, he just did the one up in Fort Mac, and then I believe he was just heading to the lake to spend some time with his family. But I think he's got another loop of Fozzie gigs somewhere. I don't know if they're back in Europe or they're going somewhere else, but he's been really busy with Fozzie of late. So other than that, I try not to ask too detailed on where he is and what he's doing, because he usually likes to play any, whether they be wrestling-related or Hollywood-related stuff, close to the chest. So I don't ask. That way I don't have to worry about accidentally stooging something off. He was just telling some really great stories about the dealings he had with Mickey Rourke at the WrestleMania, as far as all the bodyguards that Mickey Rourke brought. He says he's telling some funny stories, and it was a good time.
Cool. Go ahead, Kurt.
You brought Bubba Ray and Devon to the Prairie Wrestling Alliance just a couple months ago, and I noticed that you teamed with Devon and then put Bully Ray on the opposite end with Dylan Knight. Is that something that TNA wanted you to do? Did you kind of, I don't know, abide by their storylines where that you were, you know what I mean? Instead of putting Team 3D back together for working for you?
Again, you know, they brought them in. I didn't. I don't want to give the impression that I have the pull to hire and fire people, because then I'll just get swamped with emails with, oh, can you book me? But yeah, I even got accidentally roped into working that match, actually.
Yeah.
Because the one promoter is a Facebook friend of mine, as is Bubba. And I was just talking with Bubba, and the one promoter saw it and says, oh, why haven't you booked them up here? I'm like, you're the one that has to hire people. What are you talking to me for? And mentioned, well, if you booked the Dudleys, I'd be willing to put my boots back on to work with them. And I was really just joking.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, a week or two later, I got the call going, yeah, we got them booked. Who's going to be the fourth person? And I was like, oh, crap, I guess I'm working
again.
And as far as doing them against each other rather than as a team, that was just Bubba's call.
Mm-hmm.
Once we got them booked, he said that he just wanted to respect TV and stick to what they were doing on TV. So he said he wanted to face Devon. He said, so if we can do a... pick a partner each. Excuse me. So that was the angle that we did, that it was the, you know, the members of Team 3D fighting each other, and they were each going to pick a PWA partner to do a tag team match. So we did Bubba with Dylan Knight, the one student of mine, and then I tagged with Devon. So I think it was February that they come up. I could be wrong on the date. It might have been March. But, yes, we did a tag match, and it was a lot of fun. And then Devon did the big spiel that I'm assuming him and Bubba used to do in TNA at house shows, where they, you know, bring one of the fans in and give him a piece of the table and do pictures and stuff. So the crowd had a really great time, you know, Bubba and Devon put on a hell of a show, so it was a lot of fun.
What's going on with Bubba, man? He looks like he's in the best shape he's ever been in.
Yeah, he really is. You know, when he came up here, he had mentioned that he was the lightest he had been in I don't remember how many years. And he looked fantastic, and I've seen photos of him since, and he seems to have dropped even more weight. But, yeah, I guess he's just gotten on a real cardio kick and dropped a lot of weight and looks fantastic. Part of it might be the fact that he's doing single matches more now, because, you know, when you work tag matches long enough, you don't need that much cardio. So he might have just been able to, you know, again, coast by on a certain amount of cardio because he's in tag matches. But now that he's out there doing single matches, you get a lot more – cardiovascular training in your matches, and obviously you'd have to up your cardio training to be able to do singles matches. So when he's looking at, you know, potentially doing, you know, top single matches on pay-per-view, he probably wanted to make sure he could go, and he certainly can.
Yeah. I think he's been, I mean, I don't watch a lot of TNA really, but from what I do watch, to me, he's like the best thing on the show by far.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched it at all, but that doesn't surprise me. You know, Bubba's a good worker and a pretty smart dude, so I have no doubt his stuff's pretty good, pretty solid.
Yeah, he's been doing real good. I put him as the top heel. I probably put him at, like, against Kurt Angle at their Bound for Glory pay-per-view or something like that in the main event. I think they could have a hell of a match.
Yeah, that'll never happen, though.
It's a good
idea.
It'll
be Crimson or something. It'll be Crimson instead or something.
Oh, Christ.
That's right, Kurt.
You know, I had a question, and I totally lost it there. speaking of your band, things that you watch, TNA being one of them, you slipped from your band and watched the fights this last weekend?
No, I did not, actually. I said there was a chance because Lazenby was in town, and I didn't know how adamantly he would have to watch the show, so I didn't know whether he was figuring to be able to watch it at my place or not, but I believe he had set his DVR at home and was just going to watch it when he got home, so he didn't need to watch it, and I didn't feel any inclination to, so I still has yet to watch a UFC show.
Well, it
may not be a lifetime ban, but as of right now, I'm not following it.
What does Paul think of that, since, you know, Paul's such a main player in, you know, the MMA scene in Canada, you know, trying to legalize it and all the stuff he does up there?
We didn't really talk about it much. You know, I think he respects my opinion. Whether he agrees with it or not, he's more than willing to let me have it, and he knows I'm not one that's going to be swayed by any arguments. He's a pretty anti, you know, he's a big anti-drug guy, too, because, you know, he had the misfortune of trying to compete in powerlifting for a lot of years when he wasn't willing to do drugs. And so he's experienced a lot of frustration with others cheating you using steroids. So I think he agrees with my stance, but since he is a lot more involved with MMA, he's a lot more tolerant. And again, it's probably a situation of the greater tolerance I have for pro wrestling because I've invested a lot of years in it and believe in the sport more. You know, I hang in there and try to fight the good fight and still support pro wrestling, even though it's obviously not an entirely clean sport either. You know, he's been involved in mixed martial arts for a lot of years, you know, going back to when he spent his days in the Pancrase Dojo in Japan way back when. So, you know, he's put a lot of time into this sport, and he's obviously very frustrated with the, you know, with shoddy commissions and other such things in the sport, but he's hanging in there and fighting a good fight and still trying to make MMA a better place. So I think we both have similar views and are just doing it in our own respective sports.
So what do you think of what they're doing with Sin Cara right now, where they're actually putting him on TV, but it's not really him because he's been suspended?
I'm curious to see where they're going to go. I haven't watched actually, I guess SmackDown's on tonight. I just got home. I was out at my in-laws' cabin for a week, so I even missed Raw on Monday. You know, I've certainly got no problem with it. You know, if they're still sticking to the rules of their wellness policy, as long as, again, I don't know what his real name is. We'll call him Mystico to distinguish. You know, as long as Mystico's serving his full 30 days, they're honoring their wellness policy, which is good. And if they want to, you know, benefit their programming by either using the imposter for a week or two and then bringing Mystico back, then, you know, that's their prerogative. If they decide to just not use Mystico and let this guy be the Sin Cara character, then, again, that's fine, too. It's not like they didn't have a couple people play Max Moon back in the day. It's not really uncharted waters. You know, the second coming of Razor and Diesel, too, for that matter. Or, again, if they want to end up doing, you know, to get this guy out of FCW that did Sin Cara this week, from what I understand, you know, if they want to end up having the real Sin Cara show up and do a bit of a you're an imposter, you know, you could do a bit of a almost like, you know, Japan when they had Liger and Super Liger, or they had, you know, Tiger and Black Tiger, and they did the rivals under the same gimmick program and lead it to a mask versus mask. If they want to do that too, to give Sin Cara a bit of a program and a feud, then that's fine too. My biggest thing is, you know, they need to, at the very least, stick to the letter of their wellness policy, which from what I understand they're doing at least. Again, I'm not saying the wellness policy is perfect, but at least if they make the effort to enforce it as it is, at least it's a good step.
You left out Kane versus Kane in the match.
Yes, that was another great one that lasted, about a week?
Yeah. Now, there's some heat on Sin Cara because he hasn't learned English yet, and you've had the same experience where you've been in Japan. I'm assuming you don't really speak Japan. Would they put heat on you if you didn't, like, try and learn a little Japanese, or is that just some stupid WWE, unwritten rule thing?
Well, you know, I think it's unfair to call it a stupid WWE thing, because Japanese pro wrestling was not really based on promos and interviews. When the company I worked for, we didn't have TV. They'd tape certain events for video, and you'd do interviews in English and so forth, and they put the subtitles in them when they put VHS out when I was there. So it really wasn't a factor. Because for the most part, you were supposed to be the foreigner, and a lot of Japanese people did speak English anyway. But when you look at WWE TV and programming, you know, interview and character and personality is a much bigger part. So I can certainly understand where they do want Mystico to learn English. And I would imagine, he is, just if nothing else, for the easier time he will have on the road being able to make his way about if he does speak English. But he's going to have to, because I think to get over as a babyface, he's going to have to learn a little bit. Even if it is just ends up being his gimmick is that he speaks very broken English, just to get a little bit. I think Brian's mentioned it before with, you know, the Brazilian guys.
Yeah.
If he can just get a couple words, so at least you're sort of making the effort and giving us a little bit of something. But if he doesn't speak it yet, they've got to take their time and wait till he can do a little bit. So he is going to be left with just being this, mute guy under a hood doing fancy moves, which is only going to get him so far. He is going to have to, I think, be able to cut some promos and react and show some personality to the crowd before he can get to, you know, even upper middle card, to be honest, let alone top tier.
Let's just say that you were dating somebody that was in the same company, and then you got fired, and on a Friday you got fired, but you still went on the road with the company over the weekend. Would you have still gone on the road with them, or would you just gone home?
You know, there's no real way of answering that, to be honest. And, you know, obviously you're taking a shot at Melina for traveling on the road with John. But, you know, the road is lonely. And, you know, just going home and sitting home, especially because, you know, there may have been, you know, plans that they had set up with, oh, hey, when we're in this town, we'll go to, you know, we'll go see this or go to that. So they may have had plans already. And when you've got the bank load of frequent flyer miles you get when you're employed by WWE, you know, she can pretty much fly for free. I'm assuming she's rooming with John and riding in the car with John, so it's not like it's even costing her any money to do it. I was more just amazed that you would think, I'm assuming it was a fair, relatively bad split if they were denying her entry to the building. You would think if you separated on that bad of terms, you would know it was on that bad of terms and think maybe I'll travel on the road with you, John, and we can, you know, do the plans that we had figured on, but when it comes to Monday, I'll go back to my hotel and put my feet up and you can go to TV.
Yeah. I think it was more that the story was that, Beth Phoenix was going to make her remark about no splits and they didn't want her, like, in the building to hear that and have some sort of drama backstage, I guess. That's what the story was.
That just seems silly to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's not like they don't humiliate people to their face on TV all the time. You know, how much drama are they going to get? And again, if she doesn't work for you, if there's drama backstage, just throw her to the building. Who cares?
Now, speaking of like that, what did you think of Gail Kim? She was my favorite diva, but she kind of pretty much, I guess, went out there to try and get herself fired, basically, by doing that thing in the Battle Royal. What was your take on that?
I was so disappointed at how little they did with Gail when they brought her back. Because I've always been a big supporter of Gail's. I was dumbfounded when they let her go way back when, before she went to TNA. Because I always thought, you know, in addition to her being able to work really well, like, she was always one of the, again, I won't say the best worker they've had, but she's always been in that top tier of the girls that could really work. You know, she's really easy to look at. And the fact that she, yeah, exactly, she's a, you know, a really attractive lady. And then the fact that she is Korean, you know, she offers something different than, you know, the four or five blondes you can't really distinguish unless you see them up close. You know, when they do those, you know, 18-woman lumberjill matches, it's like half the time you can't even tell who they are on the outside, where, you know, Gail stood out because she looked different than everyone else. So I always thought that, you know, she would have been one of the girls that I would have, you know, kept and pushed the most no matter where I was, because she had a unique look. She looked really great and she could work. So when she came back, I was really hopeful they would do something with her. Although I suppose perhaps I'm not surprised, you know, maybe when she went to TNA and did so well there, it's like, well, if we push her here, we're just copying an act that was in TNA. And, you know, when everybody got their hopes up when Kong came in, it's like, are they really going to do a TNA program in WWE? I don't think so. So as long as Gail is, you know, financially content and wants to leave, then it's certainly her prerogative. It's a shame they didn't do more with her because she's really talented. You know, and I've always been a firm believer. It's like, you know, if you want models and really sexy girls, it's like there's a few of them out there that can work too.
It
the only thing
that
you can really remember Gail Kim doing in WWF was, you know, the just being with Daniel Bryan so they could do the vegan virgin joke or something like that backstage.
That was probably her biggest run since she came back. Yeah, she was the surprise girlfriend of Daniel Bryan.
It's a shame that Austin Kong had got pregnant and they actually didn't work that program, because those matches they had in TNA, I mean, those have to be the best North American women's matches that have been on TV and probably ever. I mean, they were awesome.
Yeah, but do you really think they were going to redo that program? You know, it's not like they couldn't have had, it's not like they couldn't have had Gail work with Natty and had fantastic matches if that's what they were looking for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then at least it would have been far more unique because it was something that hadn't been done before. You know, Natty can really go if they'd let her.
And it kind of looks like they're going to give her a little push, so hopefully they will. Craig, do you have any last questions?
Since we're on the subject of women, I was wondering, what's the biggest heat or eye roll you ever got with your wife on some of the gimmicks that you've had to do over the years?
I don't think I've ever really gotten any from my wife. She tended not to watch all that closely because she didn't really care too much. I don't think I ever got much of a reaction from her.
What did she think of the human tripod?
Pardon?
What did she think of the human tripod gimmick?
I don't imagine she ever even saw it. Most of that crap was on Heat, and it's not like she was watching Sunday Night Heat to watch me wrestle. I don't think she, you know, frequently watched Raw or Nitro when I was on either. So
you never went home and told her, hey, they got me putting a gimmick in my trunk tonight.
No, like I don't think I ever got a reaction from her when I was, you know, getting a title push or when I was doing something stupid. She just watched the show, and if, you know, I'd get a reaction if for some reason I got hurt and, you know, was limping home. But other than that, it was just the stupid job that I did that brought a paycheck home. So,
Trey, you got any last questions?
Yeah, do you drive with your headlights on, Lance? I read that. It was in the Q&A the other day. I read that. I love Lance's Q&A's because he's just
I know they're just a smart-ass wit to him. I love reading them whenever he does them. So everybody needs to check him out.
There you go. Good plug. Thanks, Couture. Find out if I drive with my headlights on.
And I guess since you only have so much time for us, my last question, I'll just totally go off of wrestling or anything. I remember something you said on one of Brian's shows. You mentioned that you were like a big, big Pink fan, and I was wondering, how did you get into Pink?
I honestly have no idea, and I can't honestly say, as I've probably listened to a song of hers in years, but I don't listen to a lot of music, and every once in a while I stumble across something and I, like a couple songs, and I'll every once in a while actually buy an album, and for the most part I've liked her stuff, which I enjoyed the brief feud that Jericho had with Pink on Off the Record at one point. I think during his Moon Goose McQueen absurdity in Fozzy, when he was refusing to acknowledge that he was Chris Jericho, he was on Off the Record with Pink and someone mm-hmm. else. And she was just, looking down her nose at him, thinking he was a big goof and made a big deal out of, your name's not really Moon Goose McQueen. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, Pink, is that on your birth certificate or something? And she was, of all the people to be bitching about him going under assumed name, she's the one to be doing it.
That's hilarious. Well, Lance, I want to thank you for your time. We really, really appreciate it.
Hey, throw in a plug for Lance there, buddy.
Yes.
Check out StormWrestling.com. Thank you.
Yes. StormWrestling.com or Lance Storm on Facebook.
Got any room in any of your classes, Lance?
I've got my next one starts on the 12th of September. I think there is a spot still open, so if anybody's interested in training with me starting the 12th of September, check out my website and drop me an email. And again, January, May, and September of next year as well. So that's about it.
And you can find his site on Facebook as well, and check
Lance
out.
Do you have like three different Facebooks?
Yeah, I've got a Storm Wrestling Academy page, which gets very little traffic. I've got my Lance Storm one that gets a fair bit. And then I've got my personal one, which is more for family and legitimate friends rather than just fans.
And trolling me on Facebook.
Well.
But that's really appreciate you coming on. So thank you very much.
All right, guys. No problem. Talk to you later.
Thank
you. Have a good one, Lance.
Well, that was pretty good. He told me he can only do like 45, so I think I kept it right to the 45 or pretty close to it.
It's funny, you don't have his phone number. He calls in. How odd.
No, actually, I do have his phone number because I texted him the number to call and reminded him he was doing the show. So, yes, I actually have one of the few. Not only am I his Facebook friend, I also have his phone number, which I may be selling on eBay one day. The highest
I don't even have his phone number.
That's surprising. I thought you guys were like best friends.
Oh, you just talk on Yahoo Messenger and shit like that.
Yeah,
still too perfect talking on the phone.
That's pretty cool. I think he trolls me just as much as anybody on Facebook. I guess.
So easy.
No shit. I don't know how many times I fucking type something and hit send or whatever, and I look up and I'm like, oh Jesus fucking Christ. But, I tend to embarrass myself on Facebook on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, I guess we should go ahead and get into the, what do we even call it? What's this?
It's the new news of the Z.
Huh?
News with the Z? Yeah, remember back in the old WWF days, they had news, but it was with a Z, so it was Insider Scoops, brother.
Well, when news with a Z on the internet now means bullshit websites. It's still all. Well, we actually did steal this from everything, so I guess we are news with a Z. Go ahead. I will not deny I went to many websites and stole a lot of news and just copied and pasted.
Well, some of them we have gone over. Melina was denied entry into a building for Raw. She got fired this last week, and we'll just skim over that. But top story, SummerSlam is this Sunday, and we have four matches announced. We have CM Punk versus CM Punk versus John Cena for the undisputed WWE world title with Triple H as the special guest referee. We have Christian versus Randy Orton in a no-holds-barred match for the world title. Kelly Kelly versus Beth Phoenix, and let's hope Beth wins. And Sheamus versus Mark Henry, and there was a fifth match, you said, Couture?
Daniel Bryan and Wade Barrett. So at least for sure, Daniel Bryan's on the card at least, thank God.
Thank you, Couture.
Just those matches is kind of a, I don't know, even just with five matches, it's good, looks like a good card.
Yeah,
I think it's going to end up being a good card, but come on, four matches before your like third biggest pay-per-view? I mean,
I'm wondering if, well, you know, Dave kind of said in the Observer or either one of the updates that they're going to give the Cena and Punk a whole lot of time. Maybe they're going like, you know, extra long or something like that.
Ooh, what if
maybe
they go Broadway?
You know, they could do that.
Hey, they had a five-star match last. They had a five-star match last month from the Wrestling Observer, given by Dave Meltzer. So you know, the Cena Nation is going to be clamoring to see this match if they get that extra time. You know, because
I can see them going an hour, and maybe Triple H says there has to be a winner, so they do like an overtime or something. I don't know.
Or what if they went Broadway and they just went, you know, with two world champs and to mix it up. I don't know, Alberto Del Rio beats one of them, and then there's still two world champs. You know what I mean?
Maybe both of them are knocked out at the end, and he pins both of them, and he's the one champion. Sounds like Brian Alvarez's idea. Never mind.
Yeah.
No, that's too smart for Brian Alvarez. He wouldn't come up with that.
Oh, goodness.
But, yeah, I mean, he's only hating on the Cena Nation because he's jealous that John Cena had a five-star match, and he, according to our good friend Supersonic, can't even have a two-and-a-half-star match.
Oh, jeez. I did have to agree with Brian about the corners that Cena was taking. The one he took to set up the Vader bomb, that was horrendous. That was the worst
corner
I've ever
seen. Side.
Yeah, it was so bad.
I think so. Well, sometimes, you know, I think, like you and Brian, you know, y'all have been in there, you know how to do that stuff, so I mean, it sticks out more to you than it would to me watching, you know?
Yeah, it's probably not as noticeable to, you know, like my 5-year-old son, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Our next story, Steve Austin talks about possibly working with Punk at WrestleMania. Steve Austin did an interview with G4 and made a comment that if he was to wrestle again, it would be with Punk, saying it would be a great matchup. I'm not saying it's going to happen. Will you let me finish the story there?
Oh, I'm sorry.
So Austin said, it would be a great matchup. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. It's just something to think about. Austin, who will be 47 at the time of WrestleMania, retired due to neurological problems stemming from a 1997 injury at the 2003 WrestleMania. Within creative and above creative at the top level, the idea of Austin being on the show and where he would fit in would have been talked about. Although those close to the situation say the odds of him returning probably not going to happen anytime soon.
Well, I wouldn't do it for this WrestleMania because there's no point in doing it for this WrestleMania because you already got The Rock. I mean, you don't have to have Stone Cold. What you could do is next year, after the next WrestleMania, book it in Dallas and make it like second or third from the top. And just the Texas thing alone is going to get more people to show up, you know.
Well, I would say that Austin always goes back and forth on whether he wants to come back or not. So if you can get a commitment on him coming back for one match, you probably might as well go with it when you can get it instead of waiting a couple of years.
Not to mention he's 47 now, and next year he'll be 48.
Yeah,
time is not on his side.
He's on top right now, and you don't know where he's going to be 2 years from now.
Yeah. Well, you never know. I think they would get more out of doing it the next year, but you do make a good point about do it when you can because who knows. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just, you know, it's just, you got to, it's a kind of a catch-22, really, you know. But, you know, I mean, I would love to see it. That's all I know. I want
to
see it.
Yeah, I'd love to see it.
I'd just love to see it just because he would probably piss off Hulk Hogan, because Hulk Hogan's always wanted to have a match with Stone Cold, and Stone Cold just basically tells him, "Fuck you, I don't want to work with you." You know, you kind of have him groveling at him sometimes, wants to do that match.
Not to mention, about this time last year, one of our local radio stations, KSW in Seattle, Washington, great station. Check them out online if you get a chance. They're always talking wrestling, and last year TNA was rolling through town, and Hogan called in, Punk called in to do an interview with the station, and one of the radio guys asked Punk about Hogan. Well, Punk actually buried Hogan, saying he should probably be taken out to pasture and shot. There's no reason for him to be in there, you know, blah, 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 on and on. So 2 weeks go by, and Hogan calls in because TNA is rolling through town, and they play the audio of Punk talking about Hogan.
I heard this.
On
YouTube.
Yeah. And so there's no love there, but if you can put yourself in Hogan's shoes, and if he actually got to work with Punk, how humbling and angered Hogan would be by the whole thing.
Yeah.
Just something to think about. Moving on, Samoa Joe possibly looking to get into the WWE. Samoa Joe at this point has been talking seriously about looking into getting into the WWE when his contract expires with TNA in several months.
Might as well. Ain't doing shit with him there. I'd rather be buried in a bigger company than a smaller one to make more money.
That's very true. I don't know if WWE would want him. I mean, when they were looking at him before, you had Umaga, and they didn't want another quote unquote Samoan. But there's unfortunately no more Umaga in the WWE. I don't know if Joe would fit the bill in WWE.
He doesn't fit the stereotypical Samoan monster type, because if you look at almost the majority of their Samoans, they've all been pretty much stereotype Islanders with the long, crazy hair, barefoot, and all the stuff, you know.
Right.
And
well,
he does not
fit that
mold at all.
I think he's at a point in his career where maybe it's time to think about going.
I would hate to see him put in with the Usos and not put in immediately into a program with Bryan Danielson. And I just know that the former of that is going to happen. They're going to stereotype him. He's not going to get to work the way he, you know, even did in ROH. And you know, of course, every hardcore wants to see him and Danielson, him and Punk, whoever. But, of course, they're going to give him a goofy gimmick, and they'll probably tell him to grow out his hair and put it in dreadlocks and get a wacky tattoo and, you know, stuff like that.
I think, in my opinion, like, if I was him, I would go, but they're not going to hire him on the simple fact that he is fat.
You're probably very much right, unless they could put him into some MC Hammer-style pants, I guess.
That's okay. You can stay in TNA and drop the Crimson and stuff like that.
What happened to fucking him, dude? What happened to him? He was, like, the fucking main thing on TNA for a long time, had an awesome run. Him and Kurt Angle actually made a little fucking money at the best pay-per-view ever, and now he hasn't won a match. I don't know when the fuck.
Well, he's been portrayed as an idiot for like 4 or 5 years
Yeah,
now.
I know. Yeah.
He's been kidnapped and ninjas and crap like that.
I forgot about the ninjas.
And then he came back with a penis painted on his face and MC Hammer pants, looking like an idiot. I don't know.
Yeah, a total. I mean, as much as people complain about Bryan Danielson being used improperly with the WWE, I would trade that in a heartbeat for the way they treat Joe and TNA over the last
few
years.
And he was so hot, like in 2006 when he was doing that stuff with Scott Steiner. You know,
yeah,
when they
had
their man. And
absolutely.
I don't know, Kurt Angle coming in may have hurt him a little bit.
Well, they had that run. I mean, it was awesome. I mean, they just had to run, and then after half that run and made money and, you know, had the big success, they just slowly pushed them down that hill. But like the man said, the shit rolls down the hill.
Yep. Our next story, Heath Slater accused of assaulting female security guard over WrestleMania weekend. The ginger got fiery angry. WSB-TV featured a story on allegations that SmackDown star Heath Slater assaulted a female security guard assigned to keep fans away from the wrestlers staying at the Hyatt Regency in Atlanta over WrestleMania weekend. According to the report, security officer Connie Oliver claimed that Slater thought she was pretty and grabbed her in a chokehold while trying to bring her back to his hotel room. She fought to get loose and later identified Slater as the alleged attacker. According to the WSB-TV report, a WWE spokesman noted that the allegations were against Slater personally and not the company.
You can't trust those fucking gingers, dude. I tell you, they're fucking evil. But honestly, it sounds like a bullshit story to me. I mean, come on. I mean, unless he was fucking drunk and drugged out of his mind, you know, if you're kind of doing something back to the chick, you're not going to do it to the chick wearing a fucking security uniform.
Right. Do you ever notice how much Heath Slater looks like Rocky Dennis from Mask? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. You know, when we were in Atlanta this year, we actually, my wife and I, after Mania and after everybody was jumping in their hotel, in their planes to go back home, we actually drove into the heart of downtown Atlanta, and I wanted to go to the Hard Rock, which was just happened to be like two blocks down from the Hyatt. And it was like 11 o'clock in the morning, and there was about, I would guesstimate about 15 to 20 marks being pushed into the waiting area of the parking lot, and there was no way that they were letting the marks get even anywhere close to the front door of this place. And anyway, we went to the Hard Rock, had some lunch, and we walked back to where I had parked the car, and Mark Henry emerged from the building. He actually took the building off to get out of the hotel. But the marks started to you know, run towards him, and there was no way that those guys were even getting anywhere close to those wrestlers. It was pretty amazing to see how that security worked with the WWE on that. So yeah, it sounds like a BS.
I just figured Mark Henry looked like he's swatting flies if anybody got close to him.
No doubt.
Of course, they let the biggest mark of all, Brian Alvarez, in the building for a couple of days, and he can't even tell the difference between Ricardo Rodriguez and fucking Sin Cara.
Well, what are you going to do?
Yeah, he's not very bright, but go ahead, continue.
Tomorrow night in Chicago, ROH will be taping its very first TV for Sinclair Broadcasting. We got the lineup as typed. Tommaso Ciampa with the Embassy versus Andy Right Leg Ridge, the worst name.
What's the name about? I don't get it.
He's like
he throws a lot of kicks.
Yeah, he does a lot of weak-ass kicks, too, dude. That's the thing. They don't even look good.
Yes.
Right
so
leg.
Andy Right Leg Ridge, please change that. That's horrid. Jimmy Jacobs with Steve Corino versus the Prodigy Mike Bennett and our good friend Brutal Bob Evans. Tag team challenge match with Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly versus the Bravado Brothers, which will actually probably be really awesome. Defy or Deny match, I have no idea what that is. Eddie Edwards versus Michael Elgin with Truth Martini. We have a grudge tag team match with the Briscoes versus the All Night Express. The World TV Championship match, El Generico with the recently signed Jay Lethal. A world
but
tag
they got the TV
champ-
back just in time, didn't they?
Yeah,
they didn't
exactly.
Have to get rid of the TV title.
World Tag Team Championship match,
Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas versus the Kings of Wrestling, Chris Hero and Claudio Castagnoli. And I would expect a title change on this show because I'm pretty sure these guys are getting called up very soon. And yeah, in the main event...
Aren't the greatest tag team the champions?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
Expect them to lose this match.
Yes, I expect them to lose this match.
There's no Roddy on the show?
And in our main event, Davey Richards defends his title against Roderick Strong.
Oh, well, I was wondering. I was like, God damn. Poor Roddy. Especially against him being an asshole. No, that'll be an awesome main event. I mean, just that match itself is worth watching the whole show. And then you get the Kings against the British tag team. I mean, it doesn't like when you started reading it, it didn't sound like the best card or whatever. But
no,
you talk about a show that builds its way up. I mean, you know,
And I think it sounds like a heck of a card.
Well, there's a lot of new people that I guess people really aren't familiar with. You know, Tommaso Ciampa. Honestly, when we were in Atlanta, I thought it was Eric Stevens.
Yeah,
I swear to God, I thought it was Eric Stevens. You know, Michael Elgin. He showed a lot of potential in Atlanta. He's still new. I mean, they got a lot of new guys, and you know, so I don't really know what to expect. But like I say, it sounded like every match just built in. You can't go wrong with Davey and Roderick. You're going to have two guys who are literally going to go in there and try and act like it was actually a real fight, and they're going to beat the living fuck out of each other.
Yeah.
We talked to a one-hour show. Maybe that's 2 weeks worth of TV or something. I don't know.
That's got to be like a couple months worth or something, man.
I would say they'll probably break it down into a four-week thing with maybe two matches on each show, maybe three.
Yeah, because I think the next taping isn't until, like, maybe the middle of September or something like that.
Is that right? You know, when they were on HDNet, they sometimes only had, you know, sometimes even one match on a show, and the rest was vignettes and promos and stuff, and it was fine. There was nothing wrong with
you
that
could do,
show.
You could do, like, the first show, main event, Kings of Wrestling tag team. You didn't... The second show you could have Davey and Roderick, and then the next show you could have the All Night against the Briscoes, and then match it up with, like, you know, the Generico and the Elgin and Chamath, you know, all those matches. And,
those matches because it's kind of, you know, the first few weeks kind of establish who your main guys are, you know, all your champions are and stuff like that. So it's pretty good.
Not to mention, this is only the announced card. I'm sure they're going to have some more stuff in the opening. You know, there's a couple of mainstays missing there. Don't ask me who they are because I don't know. But, you know, they could do some squash matches and even have them work twice. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, they could bring in guys like Tony Kazina and have him, like, job out to somebody, you know.
Yeah.
You know, those guys that aren't on the main show. But, I mean, I'm excited. I know I'm going to get it because there's two Sinclair broadcasting channels in San Antonio, so one of them's got to have it.
Yeah, we won't be getting it, but I'll probably end up, you know, if they do it like they say they're going to, I'll probably end up getting it, you know, off their website, you know, a week later or whatever. So it's all good.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't actually have to have the channel to actually get the shows, any show nowadays, so.
That's very true. I mean, with Hulu and all those other, you know, stations, I'll be seeing the show.
Yeah.
TNA's Crimson sends a tweet to Bill Goldberg. Yes, that is a headline. After Sunday's TNA Hardcore Justice pay-per-view, Bill Goldberg retweeted a message from a fan. Sorry, Crimson, a spear without a jackhammer just sucks. Crimson seemed to take offense and retweeted the post at Bill Goldberg. At Goldberg.
Yeah, Goldberg? And you make fun of me? And you make fun of me and you can't say Goldberg?
Let him finish.
It's a Jewish name. Sorry. Okay. It says, at Goldberg, while you were getting stretched by Chris Jericho, I was dodging bullets for this country. Hashtag who's next and destroying lives. Goldberg responded with, who are you again?
Yeah,
What a coward that Grimson is. He's out there dodging bullets. You gotta, I'd be a man and take them things head on. Got to stand up to him.
You know, here's the funny thing. Like I say, I don't really watch a whole lot of TNA. I have never ever seen Chris Grimson wrestle.
You consider yourself lucky.
They have a hard-on for him at TNA for some reason. I don't know what the deal is.
He's a big dude. He's a ginger. I don't know. He's not very good.
You can go up to the website and read my front page thing that I wrote this week on him. Very good.
Yeah. I know. And while we're speaking of TNA, and we were, they had a little pay-per-view this last weekend. And I'll run down the results quickly. Brian Kendrick defeated Alex Shelley and Austin Aries to retain the X Division title. Tara and Miss Testmacher defeated Sarita and Rosita following the Widow's Peak to retain the Knockouts tag team titles. The Pope defeated Devon in a BFG series match. The what's that thing called again?
Bound for Glory series.
Yes, thank you. Bound for Glory series match to earn 7 points. Matt Morgan was doing commentary during the match. The Pope wanted to do the right thing, but Devon and... Wow, that's written very poorly. Here. Anyway, Devon couldn't pin him. Devon wouldn't...
Copy and paste it.
Devon didn't want to take the pin in that way. Winter defeated Mickey James to win the Knockouts title after Winter spit red mist into Mickey's eyes.
Horrible match.
Interesting. Crimson, the Crimson, who are you again, defeated Rob Van Dam by disqualification when Jerry Lynn attacked Crimson before the match.
Called Rob Van Dam, quote, a zillion points.
That's right. Before the match, during an interview, Jerry Lynn offered his services to watch Rob's back, to which RVD agreed. Because of his DQ loss, Rob Van Dam lost 10 points and dropped to the fifth place while Crimson maintained his spot at first. After the match, RVD argued with Lynn, who tried to apologize. So at least that'll set
Lynn
up at least one good
match. Just shows up in the interview segment. He showed up last year when they were going to do Hardcore Justice. Just pops into the screen. He did it last month with Destination X. Just popped up on the screen. And he just, that night on this pay-per-view, just popped up on the screen. That's weird.
Fortune defeated Immortal in a six-man tag team match after AJ hit a springboard Pele to Abyss. Apparently it was maybe a missed-up moonsault, maybe a Pele kick, whatever. Gunner was going to put AJ through the table, but Daniel saved him and ended up going through himself after the match. Scott Steiner and Gunner lectured Abyss on taking the loss.
I think between Christopher Daniels and AJ or something. I don't know. Some don't seem right for me there.
You know, I was watching a little bit of Impact last night, and I was so confused because a lot of times I'll do the fast-forward gimmick to get through the show really quick. But it was like 2 weeks ago you had Anderson going into Immortal?
Immortal, yeah.
Okay. And 2 weeks later, they're laying the boots to him, and he leaves on a stretcher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember, it reminded me of when Ahmed Johnson joined the Nation of Domination for like 2 weeks, and then 2 weeks later, just for like out of the blue for no reason, they just beat the hell out of him, threw him out. I don't know. Nobody knows.
And so you've got one guy who just turned, and then they're going to turn him back, and then on the other hand, you've got Abyss probably going face here in the next few weeks as well, and no wonder everybody's confused.
Did you watch this pay-per-view, Craig?
I watched a little bit of it. I watched the first match and I think
you fell asleep.
Yeah,
I didn't watch much of it.
I didn't
see anything.
I mean, I watched a little bit of it. I'll be honest with you.
Did you see the Anderson promo on this show?
No, but I heard the reviews on the Anderson promo.
Did he say something like, I made asshole cool or something?
Well, he's saying all this stuff. He's saying asshole. He threw in shit just to, I don't know, like that's supposed to make it different. And then he ends it where he puts his, you know how you can make the fart noise by putting your two palms up to your mouth?
Sure.
That's how he ended the interview.
So he emulated
the
deal.
It was like the worst interview I've ever seen.
You know, I was high on the dude at one time. Like, when they had the Royal Rumble here in San Antonio, at that time, I thought he was doing pretty good. I thought he was getting over. I thought he was looking good. And then I don't know what the fuck happened. It just went downhill from there. And then, you know, he can't have a job in the WWE because no one wants to work with him, none of the top guys, because they're fucking scared he's going to hurt them, you know. And then he's in TNA, and somehow they think cussing is how you get someone over. Like, you remember how Roxy was over, and then they gave her the cussing gimmick where she was just like, bitch, slut, whore, just screaming out of her mind, and then it kind of cools her off. And, you know, they think of him saying asshole is going to somehow be cool. There's nothing cool about he really is an asshole.
They were able to get a response at anybody saying asshole, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't hear that in my place of work, you know, 3-4 times a day. Gosh. I was talking about the radio station here in Seattle. They did an interview with Anderson probably 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago, and it was really good. He stayed online with them for about 40 minutes, and this is a regular radio station, and they did it. Actually made a podcast out of it instead of having him live on the air. So he stayed with them for about 40 minutes, and he was actually shooting with them. And he was talking about how those babies in WWE, they didn't want to be touched when they were in the ring, and he said he worked a little snug. And you know, I understand why they let him go. And then later on that weekend, he'd actually come up, and he worked Jeff Hardy on the house show here in Kent, which is just down the road. And he came out and he talked about the Packers, and he talked about our ridiculous Seahawks team who had the worst record and actually made it into the playoffs last year, and so forth and so on. And I was really high on him for about a month. And then it just got really, really bad. And he has channel-changing heat in the Proper household. When he's on there, I don't want to hear my son. I don't want my son to hear him say a-hole or anything like that. So when he's on, he gets muted. He's off TV. I don't care. And, I know why WWE cut him. It's really, really evident why they cut him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad I went on that diatribe. Anyway, next matchup on the Hardcore Justice pay-per-view was Bully Ray defeating Mr. Anderson. Anderson was going to use a chain. Bully Ray introduced into the match, but the referee stopped him, which allowed Bully Ray to low blow and roll up Anderson for the win.
I think the only way you can get a pin in TNA is to use a roll up from behind. That's how everybody wins their matches in TNA, I think. I don't know.
Very true. There's a lot of that. Beer Money defeated Mexican America to retain the World Tag Team titles. And in the main event, and another turn, by the way, Kurt Angle defeated Sting to become the World Heavyweight Champion. After a ref bump, Hogan came down to the ring with a chair to hit Sting, but before he could use it, Kurt pulled the chair away from him. Angle ended up using the chair on Sting to pick up the win and the title. So another face/heel turn going on in TNA right now. So you've got three guys teetering on the edge of babyface/heel turn all at once on a two-hour program on Thursday nights.
I didn't think it was really that bad. It was just boring and nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
And really not that many good matches. And it was just a TNA show.
I had to laugh when, you know, Brian was doing the update and Dave had actually fallen asleep and wasn't able to do the show. I said, how convenient for Dave that he fell asleep.
I figure Dave like, always has some kind of advice on him to contact him. And I figure he'd be in a room with no phone or no means of communication.
No, Dave does like to take naps, because I remember in Vegas, not this past year, but the year before, coming back from the strip club, and I just walk into my suite. I'm pretty much expecting everybody's probably gone by now, and all I see is Todd Martin sitting there, so I'm thinking Todd's by himself. So as soon as I walk up to the couch, there's Dave Meltzer in the fetal position. And as soon as I asked Todd, Nick Diaz had fought Dave, like, just magically woke up and was ready to watch the main event.
Hey, well, he guy George on UFC the other night. What'd you think of that?
You know, he's from a town just down the road from here, and we're not going to claim him anymore. Those were some tiny, tiny panties he was wearing.
I saw his balls.
You know, at one time when he was in the guard position, I know that they pulled the camera angle off of him and put it on the complete other side of him in that match. It was frightening.
It's just like the guy got a $70,000 payoff for beating him quickly and getting him the hell out of
there. I know, it's crazy. And Dennis Hallman, isn't he the guy that went to Ultimate Fighter tryouts wearing a lucha mask?
Yeah, and then they wanted him to take it off, but he wouldn't take it off, but they wouldn't let him on the show unless he took it off. Like when the Midnight Rider won the world title from Dusty Rhodes, and they had to get him to take the mask off because they couldn't have a mask guy as the world's champion. You got to know who it is and who to send the checks to. So he said, well, no, here's the belt back.
Just a quick update from Facebook. I don't want to give any spoilers, but Jimmy Rave says he's in the Windy City. So there you go. That's where that's where ROH is taping tonight or tomorrow. So
Jimmy Rave.
He was part of the Rockin' Rave. The Rockin' Rave.
Rockin' Rave in Fortune.
Yeah, and then they used to throw toilet paper rolls at him. You know, instead of throwing streamers, they used to throw like toilet paper at him.
Oh yeah, that
guy's
horrible.
This is before this is when Peach was on the show, but we got him the week after he got released, and I think it's one of our best interviews because he was actually an awesome, awesome interview and an awesome guy.
Maybe Greg. Yeah, maybe wasn't there a while back some people said they do the show when they got their release?
Yeah, and I haven't heard back from those two fellas that used to work for TNA. They, of course, were flooded with, not to stooge anybody off, but I was trying to get the Young Bucks on the show when they were in TNA, and I got ran through the ringer trying to give them some press. And I know our show's not huge, and we don't have a ton of listeners or anything like that, but they would have been reaching some listeners. And so Matt was very nice and said, hey, you know, I can't book anything on my own, but here's this TNA contact. Please email him, and it should be cool. And so I emailed TNA, and they come back with, you know, who are you with and what now and blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, you know, I gave them all the specifics on our show and, you know, hey, wanted to have Matt and Nick on the show,
Craig,
blah, blah, blah.
Craig, can I cut you off for 1 second, Craig? Just 1 second.
Yeah.
I just heard that 90-second thing. I got everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows like the Angry Marks Show and about 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 other shows. So there's plenty of wrestling-related content and MMA content at AngryMarks.com. Go ahead, Craig.
And so, anyway, I got an email back from the guy like a week later, and he was almost angry with me that I had contacted the quote-unquote TNA talent, and please don't do that anymore.
So talk to people, basically?
Yeah, I pulled it right off of Facebook. They have pages on Facebook, and that's where I got their quote-unquote contact information. And that's how I contacted the guy, and I emailed Matt, and I copied and pasted the thing, And he said, "Hey brother, I'm really sorry that happened. Well, as soon as we quit TNA, you guys will be our first interview." Well, that was many, many months ago, and now they're totally flooded with stuff, and I've got their contact. I'm waiting for them to get back to me. Probably going to give them some time to let the whole thing cool off. But Matt was so nice, and the TNA guys who were handling Matt and Nick, you guys can suck.
You think TNA would want as many guys doing an interview? Well, I guess not, because there's been a few times that someone did do an interview, they usually ended up burying them. So
yeah. Yeah, I guess. But
yeah.
Did you see today that Jimmy Wang Yang, they gave him a bounce check? A check that bounced $250.
Yeah.
For he did a match like that in the X Division thing a few weeks ago, and they sent him a check for $250 and it bounced.
Well, that's unfortunate.
That's funny.
And that was a payoff, $250. Wow.
Hey,
he
lives in Florida. He lives in Florida. They're just up the road. $250
yeah.
bucks for a night's work. He worked like 7 minutes. That ain't a bad night.
Well, we don't expect to get booked again now. Going
well, if the check bounced, I'm pretty sure that's not a good thing. So,
yeah.
You know, who are you supposed to take it back to? You know, you show up at the Impact Zone and wait. Hey, you guys, can I get some cash?
They'll do like they did Canyon and have flyers with his picture on them and say, "Do not admit this man." Is there anything else on those things?
You guys got plans for a Super China Buffet yourselves?
No.
You're not doing anything, Couture?
No.
Oh.
Not a very special day for me. I don't care. Fucking Super China Buffet. I don't even know what that. That's for geeks up in the Pacific Northwest. I don't give a shit.
Well, they're not the only ones celebrating in the Pacific Northwest, though.
What am I celebrating?
I don't,
Super China Buffet. I'm celebrating the Chinese. They got nuclear weapons.
I'm celebrating eating. That's what I'm going to celebrate. But, I started a thread on the board. So anyone in San Antonio or South Texas should be at Chopsticks Buffet. At 5 o'clock. Hopefully, if no one shows up, it'll just be me and Barb, and hopefully Supersonic will make a surprise appearance, because I'm sure Barb would totally enjoy talking to Supersonic. But we will be at Chopsticks at 5 o'clock if anyone's around the area.
I don't need a special day to tell me to eat. I usually eat on Sundays anyway, so I'm not doing this.
I see.
You're a rebel,
In other non-related Super China Buffet news, I was just on the board and went to the radio section. I noticed that the PWO presents the Meet the Board number 4, and their special guest this Monday will be none other than the amazing Jew, Brent Kremen.
Is that right? That's going to be the weirdest conversation.
He's
because,
not even on the board. What do you mean, meet the board?
That's what they're calling it. You can check that show out at blogtalkradio.com/the Pro Wrestling Opinion Show.
Oh, that's what didn't he, like, quit watching wrestling about 5 times last week?
Brent doesn't even have cable.
I'm not talking about Brent. I'm talking about Logan that does this show.
Logan is a cool guy. I hung out in Vegas and at WrestleMania, but he's a real cool guy. But as far as his wrestling knowledge, it is very much lacking, because I usually don't agree with a damn thing he says. And sometimes it's like, I don't know. He comes up with some wacky shit. But
he says he's a time traveler, and I tried to send him to, like, 2030 to get me a sports almanac so we could play the races and, you know, bet on football games and stuff like that, but
right.
He didn't do it.
Maybe he couldn't get his DeLorean up to 88.
That plus capacitor, maybe it's shot.
You know, I could get Brent on this show.
That would be...
Or maybe not.
You know, I've actually had people send me messages requesting Brent. Probably like a half dozen people over the last few months. I just didn't think he would actually do it.
I don't have a guest book for next week, and I will be seeing the young man on Sunday.
Yeah,
but you may be so mad at him afterwards that you won't want to deal with him. Or then again, maybe there will be a good story coming out of there that we could hear next week.
I'm sure there'll be a story. If
not from
him,
bananas
will...
in the pockets, or he'd probably be stuffing rolls down his shirt or something. I don't know.
If there's not a story, and I know there will be a story, I'll be very disappointed. I will be back next week with a Brent Crimmin sighting, for sure.
I just remember, before we go, because we are running late, before I just remember me and Rodney hanging out at that casino, and we went to the buffet, and we were the first ones there, and we really don't know anybody, but, of course, you know, Craig, Vinny, Brian, and a few people. We don't know the family or anything. And we're just there, just wondering and just waiting for somebody we know to come by. And around the corner, we see Britt, and apparently it was Carlos. And I didn't know it was Brian's dad, and he looked more Asian than he did Mexican. And
right.
So me and Rodney are like, dude, it's Britt, it's an Asian dude. I wonder what's going on. And then, of course, Britt goes straight to the counter where he's got to ask all the Jewish questions about the bacon and kosher and all that crap. And I tell Rodney, I go, Rodney, should we go introduce ourselves, or do you just want to watch him for a while? And Rodney just looks at me and smiles, let's just watch him for a while. So we just observed Britt for like half an hour while we were waiting for everybody else to come.
Like you were bird watching or something like that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't disappoint, man.
Yeah, now real quick.
Go ahead, Craig, I'm sorry.
The best way to watch Brent is in his natural habitat when he doesn't know he's being watched. Yeah, because if he doesn't know he's being watched, he's actually goofier some way, somehow. He doesn't go out of his way to be wacky and goofy when he knows somebody's watching you, but you can see his mind working as he's doing just the simplest task. And so it's pretty amazing, to, like I said, to watch him in his natural habitat.
Like when he stole the bananas. I mean, I was sitting straight ahead from him, and all I see is just shoving his shirt with bananas. I'm like, Vinny, what the fuck is he doing? And then
right there, he was performing. He knew somebody was going to see him, obviously. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done it. So he's always on 10 when somebody's looking. But when nobody's looking, he's still wacky, but not as much. You know what I mean?
And then one of my favorite moments, other favorite moments, because I was sitting two chairs down from him, is when he came up behind that storm at the right before the ceremony, and he taps Lance on the shoulder and asks, have you seen Lance Storm? And Lance just says, no. Doesn't even look at him.
My favorite thing of that whole thing was, you know, we're at the reception, Brian's wedding, blah, 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 blah. And I look over, and Brent is having a one-on-one conversation with Mrs. Meltzer. And so Vinny and I looked at each other, and I said, we should go take care of this, huh? And he goes, yeah. And so we ran over there, and we grabbed Brent around each arm. Hey, have you had cake yet? And corralled him away from Mrs. Meltzer.
Dear Lord.
Yeah, that was funny. But you know what? Not to talk about Dave's wife a lot, but she was super cool, and she's like super chatty.
Yeah.
It's like they have some chemistry, but in other ways, it's like you would think that they wouldn't mesh. But yeah, she's super super nice.
Mm-hmm.
Buffet, what were all the different sections you were talking about, Craig, that you're going to this Sunday?
I'll be taking a world tour this Sunday. There's an Italian section, there's a Mexican section,
don't even call it Mexican, just call it fake Mexican processed food, because come on now, like, you all know how to cook
yes.
Mexican food in Seattle.
It's Mexican food as made by the Tlaloc tribe. So, yeah. And there's an Asian section where they have kind of a Mongolian grill, and they have sushi.
Do they have a kosher section?
Do they have a, yes, there is fried chicken and watermelon, I'm pretty sure. I didn't see any grits or anything like that. And how dare you, by the way.
No, how dare you? You just completely
yes, I did take the bait on that, yes. But yeah, they've got it's a great buffet. I'm looking forward to it. I haven't gotten my eat on like that in a while, so I've been in training.
They're like one of the greatest things of all time.
Yeah, this one's top notch. I'm really looking forward to hanging out with some wrestling fans.
For some reason, when you go to a buffet, you can eat more than you would do at a regular restaurant. I don't know. I guess it's because you can go back as much as you want.
Right. And it doesn't matter, you know, how much training I do. Brian will eat me. That sounded horrible. Out eat me 9 times out of 10.
Brian's a fucking mutant, dude. Brian's like a fucking mutant, dude. I swear to God, the first night I met him, that first time in Vegas, we go to that big steakhouse, and I didn't order it, but everybody pretty much ordered the prime rib, which was about fucking 6 inches thick. I mean, it was just as if they swim in the back and killed a cow and chopped it into 4 pieces and served it to Sawyer and Brian. And anyway, so it's just huge. And then he gets it just basically, it's seared. So basically, it's almost all raw and bloody, and I mean, this is disgusting. And this little midget, he ate this steak that was bigger than his head, ate all the steak fries that came with it, which was a bunch, and then they passed by with the dessert cart, and he just is drooling over the chocolate cake, and he asked if he could have chocolate cake, and I was like, how the hell is he? He's going to take like 1 or 2 bites, but no, he fucking licked that plate clean. I mean, I don't know where he puts the food, but he can eat.
Yeah, the last time we were there, you know, we started eating and, you know, 3 plates in, I'm like, you know, looking under the table to make sure he's not dumping it there, you know. I mean, he's a machine. I've never seen anybody eat like that. I mean, Vinny and I are just looking at each other and him and like, holy cow.
I think part of it has to do with his cheapness that he has to get his money's worth, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, you'll never see the man put a quarter into one of the slot machines there. But he'll eat that buffet out of business.
Okay, I wasn't gonna. You just put this in my head. Was that not the most absurd thing that Granny has ever said on the last night's show? We are $17 ahead. We've lost $40, and we're $17 ahead.
That's right.
Oh my God.
I just go to the board and look at the timestamp, see when anything on.
Yeah, that was that's math. That must be older math that I don't understand or something. But yeah, she's a funny lady.
Yeah. And thank you for not burying me on the air, Life Mike Craig.
I didn't bury anybody on
there. You joke about you and Couture are going to kick me off the show, but last week had a little snafu with the phone, and you guys stand here and talk for 3 minutes, and you're going to kick me off the show? You guys are going to do an hour show by yourselves? Come on now, really?
Well, we don't get to talking when you're calling somebody because we know you're going to butt in, so there's no reason in getting into anything.
That's very true. I mean, if it was, you know, totally up to me, I would just continue to produce the show and not even call in. But hey, that's just me.
Oh, well. I guess we can go ahead and end the show on that note, Craig, wanting to quit the show. So, Craig, since you're quitting the show, any last thoughts?
No. Enjoy the pay-per-view this weekend. Have some good Chinese food and everybody gather around the altar of Brian Alvarez and worship this weekend.
Thank you, Chair. Any final thoughts?
No.
Yeah, Couture's always good for an awesome intro and an awesome close. I don't really have anything, just so anybody in San Antonio wants to hit up Chopsticks at 5 o'clock, we'll be there. And I guess we will end the show on that note. So everybody come next week. We will figure something out. If we don't have a guest, we'll have a good topic. So everybody come back next week. And
be the man. You gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up. I'm gonna drag you until I wear your Texas ass out. That game is awesome. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.